You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. What's on the program that puts his money where his fantasies are? On the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. The countdown to kickoff is on. The excitement is in the air. The biggest game. Oh, no. Come on. It's the Miami Dolphins and the Carolina Panthers. Are you ready for some football? Monday night to football, the NFL. Great game on tap tonight. Yeah. But you know what's crazy, actually? The Panthers have won 6 games, and the Dolphins have won 4 games. So in all actuality, the combined 10 wins is actually is pretty much as good as it gets. You know how bad the NFL is right now? Yesterday's game between the Bills and the Saints was the only game on the board this week in which both teams had winning records. Like that's what this has come to right now. The Buffalo Bills won't have a winning record for much longer if they continue to play like they played yesterday. All right, Steve Merrill's going to step up and then join. He's going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We've got a lot of stuff to break down. College basketball has returned. Full slate of college basketball. And, oh, yeah, for the record, we've got some afternoon soccer going on right now. Some real football. Forget about the NFL and that crap. The beautiful game. We've got Italy and Sweden. You know, if Italy doesn't get it done today, they're not going to make the World Cup. It'll be the first time since 1958. 1958, man, that the Azzurri do not get into the World Cup, but I'm not so sure that they will. I like the under in this game, and I throw this out there right now because kickoff is at 2:45 Eastern time. Let's go under 2.5 goals in this game. Paul Povey's going to join us as well. Paul Povey, we'll talk Monday Night Football with Paul. We'll see if Paul likes any props this evening. A big night of NBA basketball tonight. New York Knicks taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers this evening at the world's most famous arena. Cool video being just put out there by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs took the subway, so it's pretty cool. Got LeBron James, J.R. Smith walking around Penn Station. You know, fans are freaking out. Oh, my God, there's LeBron James on the subway. So it's nice to see the Cleveland Cavaliers mingling with the casual folk. A big game tonight. I think the Cavs actually get it done. I look forward to Bovey's take. Philadelphia 76ers and the Clippers, the back end of a doubleheader, national television doubleheader. And, you know, I'll be watching basketball. Hopefully things go our way on the football game tonight, but you never know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, my confidence is a little shaken. Not really. I've just got problems, but I don't have enough time to tell you about all my problems. Because I pick winners, but I pick losers. And I pick too many games. And my money management skills, not great. Not great. Rich Sermonello, his money management skills, probably pretty good. I imagine Rich lives in like a nice house, probably has a wife. You know, it's like Costanza says. I'm not a real man. These guys, they have wives. They have secretaries. They have cars. what do we got? We got bad beats, man. Rich Sermonello is going to join us. Going to talk some college football. I'm going to ask Rich what he thinks. What do you think the four are going to be tomorrow night with the new rankings that come out? And what do you think the four should be? Because I got to tell you right now, things are getting pretty convoluted, man. And Mississippi State came so close to pulling the carpet out from underneath Alabama. It really would have been total chaos. We told you Georgia would get drilled by Auburn all week long. College football has been a million times better than the National Football League this year. It's not even close. And it's not always that way. It's not always that way, but this year, college football wins. But to be honest with you, you know, badminton's more entertaining than the NFL is this year, which leads us in to this week's edition of Who Ruined Your Sunday? Surprisingly enough, you know, yesterday was the first time all year that I bet on the Cleveland Browns. And for the love of God, I will never, ever bet on the Cleveland Browns again. I know you've heard me say that about Andy Dalton. You know, so I didn't take him yesterday. You know, I've said that a lot about certain teams. I'm never betting on him again. No. I'm never betting on the Cleveland Browns ever again. They're 1-24 in their last 25 football games. I don't know what the hell I was thinking in believing that the Cleveland Browns not win the game, just cover 10 points. And I tell you what, I was feeling pretty good when they were up 10-0. I was feeling damn good when they're up 10-0. They're up 10-0 and I'm getting 10 points. But then the Detroit Lions score 17 unanswered points. But then Deshaun Kizer. And I figured, you know what, Deshaun Kizer, he's a kid, he makes mistakes, but he's got a raw athletic ability, he can make some plays. And there's LeShone Kizer popping off a big scramble before the end of the first half. And, you know, you know, if you're a gambler, you know what I'm talking about. Especially if you bet on totals and stuff. You ever seen, like, a guy, you need points in a game, or one team can't score? And it's basically like yesterday. You know, the Browns are in depth, and you see Kizer going for the end zone. And you think to yourself, I really hope he scores, because if he doesn't, they're going to screw this up, even if they're on the one-yard line. And I actually thought that to myself. I'm like, well, damn. And then I'm like, well, it's first and goal. They're on the two-yard line. How are they going to screw this up? Well, how are they going to screw this up? They're going to screw this up because of the Cleveland Browns. Like, at what point is enough enough? But nevertheless, so LeShone Kizer, for one reason or another, decides to call an audible and run a QB sneak with 15 seconds left. Never mind the fact that he didn't have any timeouts, which led Duke Johnson, and I feel for you, Duke. There's Duke Johnson. He's ready. Give me the damn football. Give me the ball. No. You know what? The thing is, the Cleveland Browns, you see LeShone Kizer, you should have spiked the football. And instead of spiking the football, Duke Johnson ended up spiking the helmet. How'd that work out? So no, you don't spike the ball, you spike your helmet. I've never seen a dude take his helmet off mid-play before and spike his helmet. This is what it's come to for the Cleveland Browns. I would say that Hugh Jackson is the most useless coach in the NFL, but I don't know, man. They're all useless. Like, is Hugh Jackson any stupider than Bob McAdoo? How would Bob McAdoo even find a stadium? You know, the Cleveland Browns, you're the biggest joke in all of sport. You just are. You know, you always will be. You have. You will for eternity. Nocturnal. Eternal. The Cleveland Browns ruined my Sunday for the first time this year and the last time ever. All right, speaking of useless, you can't talk about the word useless without the Buffalo Bills, right? You know, great job by the Buffalo Bills. After that pathetic performance on Thursday Night Football against the New York Jets, you guys had 10 days to prepare for the New Orleans Saints. Well, you guys were really freaking prepared yesterday. It's pretty bad when some naked jackass runs for more yards than anyone on the damn team did. Well, we have, like, God censoring me now? We got beeps? Wow. I didn't even swear. Got big ass, you know. So, yeah, anyways, a fire alarm might go off right now, but whatever. I guess it's fitting, right? Yeah, great job by the Buffalo Bills yesterday. You allowed Drew Brees to scramble for a 10-yard touchdown, man. You allowed Drew Brees to scramble for a 10-yard touchdown. I've been a lifelong Buffalo Bill fan. I've seen it all, all right? test, shut up! I've seen it all in my years watching the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday was the worst, all right? That was as bad as it gets. Like, I almost want Rex Ryan to come back at this point in time. You know, naked dudes running on the field, you know, Bills fans smashing each other in the parking lot. This is what it's come to in Buffalo. You know, the New Orleans Saints ran the ball 24 straight times in a row, man. Like, at 24 times. Army throw the ball more. You know it's bad when the other team has Drew Brees and they hand the ball off 24 times in a row because you can't stop it. It's disappointing. And I got to be honest with you. I thought that this year was going to be different for the Buffalo Bills, but that's because I'm a stupid idiot. It's not going to be different for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are going to tank. The Bills suck. Tyrod Taylor's captain checked down like Trent Edwards was, and it's the same old crap. Our offensive coordinator is a clown. The Bills player, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's beyond like anger and rage and stuff. It's disappointment. It's complete disappointment. And you know what's really sad is no fans in the league want to win and love their team as much as the fine people of Buffalo. But now you got them. They're crazy. They're ripping their clothes off. They're running around on the freaking field because you guys suck so hard. You've ruined my Sunday. I don't know. You've ruined basically every Sunday for the last 47 years. So I don't know why, you know, I'm not even like, it's not even a shock anymore. Like, you know, whatever. It's not even a shock anymore. I watched the Buffalo. I stopped watching. I'm like, whatever, guys. Same old crap. They're going to get their ass handed to them next week against the Chargers, and it'll just fall apart like it always does. The Buffalo Bills, you ruined my Sunday again. But, hey, you know, I'm used to it at this point in time. All right, the Dallas Cowboys, you guys ruined my Sunday as well by being as crap as you were yesterday. All right? Yeah, I had the over in this game. Hard to score an over when one team can't put the ball in the damn end zone. And it's funny that people talk about how running backs don't matter in the NFL. Yeah, because running backs don't matter at all. They don't need Elliott at all. Dallas Cowboys are in a hell of a lot of trouble. They ruined my Sunday. This was real good, too. The New York Giants. Like, you know, we're talking about rock bottom right now for the New York Giants. Bob McAdoo is a freaking clown. Bob McAdoo looks like the type of guy that works at a body shop's shop. Body, you know, fixes your windshield. Hey, I got a rock in my windshield. And he kind of knows about football. Like, how the hell did this guy become a coach in a National Football League? Like, seriously. Good job. It's not just all on McAdoo either. You got Janoris Jenkins. Janoris Jenkins making $62 million. Dude can't be bothered to tackle. You know, the tackling in the NFL is almost as pathetic as the officiating is. And honestly, last night, one of the officials got ran over in the game. And as Jerry Seinfeld would say, that's a shame. One of the officials got run over yesterday. He's a 65-year-old man. Why are there senior citizens officiating National Football League games? Honestly, forget about like some hot take or whatever. Let me ask you this. Like, honestly, why is a 65-year-old man and older, how can a 68-year-old white guy Yeah, I hear you. Who ruined your Monday? Like, there's these senior citizens, these stupid old men in the National Football League. They can't see. How the hell are they going to see some dude running a 4-4 past them? They don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, it's beyond bad. What the hell is a catch anymore? Nobody knows what a catch is. The NFL is ruining my Sunday on a weekly basis. And, I, you know, truth be told, I can't wait till the season's over. At this point in time, Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Test!
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. So as we saw during the top of the show here, fire alarms are going off here. There's fire alarm testing. I don't know, there's nothing we can do about it. It is what it is. If I was in charge, it wouldn't be going on during a live television show, but I'm not in charge. So it is what it is. Rich Sermonello is going to join us. Steve Merrill bats leadoff. We've got Paul Bovey. We've got a lot of stuff, man. We got NBA basketball. We got college basketball. We got NHL hockey. Only two games NHL tonight. We have the Panthers and the Dolphins. And yeah, I don't know, man. You know, the NFL, they complain about their ratings. Maybe you shouldn't put the Miami Dolphins on TV every week. This is the third consecutive week that the Miami Dolphins are on primetime television. Or is that helmet, anyways? I think I managed to break the helmet. Wow. Wow. All right, let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. Steve, there's a fire alarm test drill going on here in the building. Very, very conveniently timed right in the middle of my show, but it is what it is. How you doing, Steve?
22-10 the last week and a half. Maybe it's because I'm on fire.
Yeah, the alarm. Yeah, the alarms are smoking. I thought, actually, I was just getting censored because I was going crazy earlier in the show, and I just heard this big beep. I'm like, wow, that's a loud beep. I'm hearing it like, you know, I don't even have headphones on, and I hear them censoring me right now. All right, Steve, so let's jump right in. A lot of stuff to get to. Week 10. Favorites dominated 11-2 straight up. You had only 7-5-1 against the spread. You had the the chalk players and the parlay players and all that, the teaser players did pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the random NFL continues. I mean, right now it looks like the Saints and the Rams might be the teams to beat in the NFC. They keep putting up a ton of points. Very interesting season, to say the least. I think New England, you know, if New England's healthy, they're probably going to be the favorite going forward. But I think that NFC is just wide open still.
You can't forget about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, the funny thing about mentioning the Rams is they've got Goff, the Eagles, Wentz. They're both fantastic in their second year. So, yeah, I think the Eagles will be the other team. Those are probably the top three. Although, you know, Seattle, from a veteran perspective, is getting a lot of love. But now Sherman's hurt, and, you know, Wilson took a couple shots last week as well. And I'm just not sold on Seattle. Some of the games they've lost this year, I think they have more bad losses than those other three teams I've mentioned.
This week's very, very interesting. The Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys are going to be in a must-win situation here. And we've got the Rams and the Vikings, which is an awesome game. You know, I don't know, that game should be on in prime time. But, you know, Rams and Vikings. Rams are at the Vikings. Vikings 2.5-point favorites in that game. All right, so let's talk about tonight's game. You know, far from a classic, but, you know, the Dolphins, were a 4-2 football team. And they weren't a very good 4-2 football team, but they were 4-2. Now they're sitting at 4-4. Two straight primetime losses. Third consecutive primetime game for them. Remember, a couple of Thursdays ago, they got blasted 40-0 by the Ravens. They were spotted on the Sunday nighter. They played okay against the Raiders. They ended up backdoor covering the number when it was all said and done. And now third consecutive week, they're playing on primetime television.
Yeah, this is going to be one of the lowest totals of the year. Who would have thought like 38.5 would be a low total in the NFL, but that's the world we live in now. We never see anything below that key number of 37
anymore.
Got to
take the over almost, Steve, just blindly here.
Here's what's interesting, Gabe. If you look at covers.com, the most public total of the week is the over in this game. So you got two terrible offensive teams, yet the public is on the over just because it's such a low number, which is something the public normally doesn't look at numbers. But when you get to this range, you know, we talk about that with the big totals in the NBA, like in the 220 range, people just start playing the unders, even though those games go over more times than not. So it'll be interesting here. And two bad offenses. I mean, the Miami's problems have definitely been offensively. They've actually scored 20 or more in three of their last four games, but their overall seasonal numbers are still very poor. They average only 14.5 a game and only 9 on the road, but they have been playing a little bit better recently. Of course, that 40-0 shutout was not one of those games on that Thursday nighter, but that was a three-day travel situation.
People said the same thing 2 weeks ago on the Thursday nighter when they played the Baltimore Ravens. Where are the points going to come from? I believe it was 39.5, and it got to 40, and Miami didn't score. There's something to be said, Steve. I do believe that under the lights, it changes the dynamic a little bit as opposed to just another casual Sunday afternoon game. What's interesting about this, the Miami Dolphins' last seven games outside the AFC East, so last seven games versus non-division opponents, they're 7-0 to the under. The Dolphins... And it depends on the number you got in that Baltimore game, because I think it might have been 40.5 at one point or whatever. But they are averaging a league-worst 14.5 points per game. But we saw it last night. Nobody thought that the game would be able to get there last night, and it did. You know, we saw Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, late scores push the game over the number. I just can't bet an under 38 here, Steve. I just can't do it.
Well, the thing, too, is Carolina's a good defensive team, but Miami's not. They're actually average at best defensively, and so that's what, of course, happened in that Baltimore game. The Ravens, as you said, went over the total on their own, and they've now given up 27 or more in each of their past three games. They gave up 28 to the Jets, another mediocre offensive team. Raiders scored 27, and the Raiders had also been struggling offensively going into that game. So Miami's not good offensively, but I don't think they're that great defensively. The problem with the side, of course, is that it's hard to lay 8.5 points with a Carolina team that doesn't move the ball well either. I think this is actually a pretty good teaser situation. You take Carolina down to -2.5 on a 6-point teaser. You get below that key number of 3. That probably is the best way to play it. You'd have to either tease it with the total, obviously, or, you know, find something on next weekend's card.
Yeah, I'm leaning with the Dolphins here tonight. I'm going to go contrarian because of the fact people think, oh, Carolina's back, Carolina this, Carolina that. You know, their offense just isn't very explosive. They're very systematic. They, you know, Cam Newton can make plays. You know, he's hit or miss Cam Newton. He can make plays. McCaffrey's starting to play a little bit better now, and Funchess was good last week. But I just don't see them. They're not explosive enough for me to really, like, kick the crap out of somebody. All it's going to take is a touchdown or two for the Miami Dolphins to hang around. It's an ugly game, man. I mean, yeah, it's hard to bet on Jay Cutler at any time, but Jay Cutler as an underdog is much better than Jay Cutler as a favorite.
And the other thing, too, if this wasn't a primetime like Monday night home game, you could actually make a case that it might be a flat spot for Carolina because they're coming off two divisional wins against Tampa and Atlanta the last two games, which basically saved their season. This is a team that was just 4-3 going into those games. Now they're 6-3. They're actually, you don't feel like they're in playoff contention, but at 6-3, they obviously are, especially in the NFC. And after two big divisional wins, normally you think this could be a little bit of a flat spot against a non-conference opponent.
All right, Steve, so the NASCAR finals are set. Matt Kenseth gets a surprise win at Phoenix, but he wasn't in a chase, so it doesn't matter. He's not going to the Final Four. Keselowski survives. He only finished in 16th place, but he moves on anyways into the Final Four. So we've got Truex, Busch, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Brad Keselowski left standing right now.
Well, what did matter is that Kenseth winning means Chase Elliott finished second. It means that he did not advance by winning the race, which is what he had to do. He's had more second-place finishes than anybody in recent history, I think, without winning a race. And, of course, he also took out, basically, Denny Hamlin, who was the best car for the first half of that race and was probably going to advance as well. And even if Hamlin didn't win the race, he'd got enough bonus points in the first two stages where he probably was going to advance over Keselowski. He'd made up that big deficit because Keselowski had a very mediocre day. So, I mean, once again, I keep saying it every week, this NASCAR season has been fantastic, and nobody is watching. My friends that are old NASCAR fans don't watch anymore. It's NFL Sunday. People aren't watching. And it's a real shame because yesterday was just amazing, again, with Elliott and Hamlin taking each other out and then a close finish. With that said, though, it now comes down to Homestead. And, you know, Chase Elliott might have been decent at Homestead. I don't think he probably would have been the guy to beat. You look at this Final Four, Keselowski, Harvick, and Kyle Busch have all won championships in the last 6 years. Truex is not, but he won seven races this year, and I think it's wide open. And I don't think you necessarily have to win this race, but you're going to probably have to be top two or three. And what we've seen in recent years is basically the person who wins the championship basically goes into Homestead and wins the race. It has been somewhat correlated.
Truex has never won here before either. Everyone else, Kyle Busch has won here before. Kevin Harvick has won here before. I thought it was interesting. Kevin Harvick already putting the pressure on Truex, basically stated. Kevin Harvick said yesterday, he said, oh, no, all of us are playing with house money. I'm just happy to be here. Truex is the guy to beat. You know, all the pressure's on him. And Truex said, I know what Harvick's trying to do. And Kyle Busch was saying the same thing. Oh, you know, Truex is going to be really hard to beat. You know, he's the guy to beat. There's a lot of pressure on him. You know, you can tell the veteran presence of a Kyle Busch and Harvick just trying to plant that seed a little bit early in Truex's head.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I wasn't even sure about this because, you know, they keep switching the format every year, and we had all these bonus points and stage points this year that transferred over in the playoffs. So, like, Truex was basically 50-some points ahead to the cutoff line going into the last round of eight. I wasn't sure how that worked for this final round, and now looking at the standings, they're all at 5,000 points. So I'm assuming there are no bonus points, so they all go in equal. Now, obviously, that makes for more, you know, drama. But I think Truex would have probably had a 10 or 20-point lead otherwise, and it would have been pretty much a foregone conclusion like it was in the old days, you know, where guys had big point leads. I understand why they did that, but he kind of got shorthanded a little bit because this isn't one of his best tracks, and now he's going to have to basically finish ahead of the other three guys to win it. So that's why I was a little hesitant betting him in the future, is because it's basically a crapshoot now between these four guys.
Yeah, it is. Even though you would have got better odds. I mean, Truex was, you know, we could have gotten a plus 333 a while ago. But you're right, this is a toss-up, but I'm not sure Truex is going to win. Any one of those guys could win. I'm not really feeling Keselowski, to be honest with you, coming in here, but I think it comes down between Truex, Busch, and Harvick. All right, so we got college basketball has begun. I've gotten off to a nice start. I haven't pushed it too much. I got stupid last night. I jumped in on an in-game, and I ended up losing by half a damn point with Eastern Washington and Washington. But with my pregame picks, I'm 3-0. I've been chipping away. Looking at the card tonight, I mean, there's so many games. I'm going to dig in as the day goes on. Interesting to see Richmond got drilled this morning, Steve, by Jacksonville State. I wouldn't have expected that. Richmond were favorites. Like, as I came on the air, man, they were down by like 50.
Yeah, and they lost their opener earlier this week on Friday night, and they were about a 3-point home favorite. It was a noon tip-off, and they were losing by 21 at halftime, ended up losing by 33. And one other in-state game tonight in my area is James Madison Old Dominion. You know, remember I mentioned on Friday about the Old Dominion over-under going up over 20 points because they're going to play faster this year? Well, the final score of that game came nowhere close to 122. It was only in the 110 area, and it closed at 140.
Wow.
So it just shows once again why you got to be careful early in the season here with college hoops, because just because the team wants to play fast doesn't mean the players can do it yet. And, you know, it's basically the preseason still in a lot of these games.
What do they do with the total tonight for that game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at it. It opened around 125.5. It's about 128.5 now. It peaked at 129. So it's moved about 3 points higher, but not 20 points higher. Now, keep in mind, Old Dominion did play Towson Friday, and Towson likes slow-down half-court games. James Madison's kind of like that as well, and this game is at James Madison. So, you know, just because these games are going under doesn't mean Old Dominion might not open it up if they finally get the right opponent, but so far they haven't.
What I find interesting tonight is College of Charleston were 18.5-point favorites against Siena, and I thought that was too high. They ended up going to overtime. They won a basketball game by 8. Now they go to Wichita State. Now the Shockers, a lot of hype around the Shockers. You know, Shockers are sort of like Gonzaga. They're not a mid-major anymore, right? They're a power. A lot of hype around this Shocker team coming into the season. They're laying 16.5. I just find it, you don't see big swings like that when one team's laying 18.5 one night, and then suddenly they're getting 16.5 the next night.
Yeah, and that's actually, College of Charleston's actually a CAA team, so I see them each year as well here because they play a lot of the Virginia schools. And they've been one of the better teams in the CAA recently, and they're also known normally for their slowdown half-court style defensive presence. That total's open 139.5. It's down to 136.5. So that tells you something right there. The odds makers are basically saying a fairly low scoring game. And I think if that's the case, it gives the big underdog, you know, a chance to maybe keep it within the double digit number.
And an obscure game, but the Degenerates are going to like this one. And I know I'll be taking a look at this this evening as Monday Night Football wraps up. Troy and Hawaii. Hawaii, -2.5, total 149. Warriors are 2-0 to the over so far in the year. They're 2-0 straight up, but they haven't covered a number yet, but they were big favorites. Tonight, they're only 2.5-point favorites against Troy. Troy beat Pine Bluff, then lost to North Dakota. Hawaii beat both the aforementioned teams already, playing in this mini tournament here in Hawaii. What do you make of this basketball game? Both teams averaging over 80 points a game. Troy 80, Hawaii 81, totals 149. I think we get some points in this basketball game. And I like Hawaii on their home court. It's a small price.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever Hawaii is at home, I always kind of lean that way to start. And then, of course, there's a lot in the next couple of weeks. We'll have a lot of these island tournaments both there and also on the East Coast, you know, down in, you know, well, I guess we won't have any Puerto Rico tournaments, I was just thinking. I wonder what's going on with that.
No Puerto Rico. They don't have power.
I didn't even think about that. Well, not even think about that. I'm sure there were some that were scheduled.
Unless
which means,
you want to play in the dark, Steve.
Well, no, but I mean, all jokes aside, because I'm not going to go there because I'll catch heat, but the those teams normally play like three games, so that means you have like a three-game hole in your schedule probably. That's something I hadn't thought about to just now, actually. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they did. Did they move it somewhere?
That's what I'm thinking, like Bahamas or something.
Yeah, the teams aren't going to miss the games. They probably just slotted it off. The tournaments actually start like tomorrow. I'm bad with dates, but what's the date today? The 13th? Yeah, the 14th tomorrow. I think tomorrow, like there's the Maui one starts, actually, because this is Hawaii, but Michigan are out there. I think Kansas are out there. There's a big one in Brooklyn later in the week. So as you stated, the tournament's to start right now. But, yeah, Hawaii laying 2.5 here against Troy. Not asking for a lot. This Hawaii team's not a bad basketball team. I like the coach of Hawaii. He does a good job.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole thing with these island tournaments is that you never know the mindset, especially the visiting teams. And I think the over could be worth a look for that reason, because if you're not fully focused, I feel like the defense is sometimes what lapses in those games.
And our boys in Master Control on top of things today. They move all the games that were going to be in Puerto Rico, because every year they have a little mini tournament in Puerto Rico.
Right.
They moved them to Myrtle Beach.
Huh. Yeah, I was thinking maybe they'll just stay in the U.S. because obviously travel-wise that's easier. That's interesting. I honestly hadn't really even thought about that until we were just talking about it here a minute ago, that you know there are usually a decent amount of tournaments down there and then in the Caribbean area.
It is ridiculous. They still don't have power now. This long after, but that, whatever.
The one thing you don't want to do is play in any of those Chinese tournaments. What the heck was UCLA even doing in China? I mean, how's that? I mean, I know they're on the West Coast, so they're a little bit closer, but that's a hell of a trip to make. I mean, what's the benefit of that? That just seems shady from the start.
Well, the trip to China is fine, Steve. The
I don't know, that's a lot of travel.
The key is not to steal stuff from the stores in China once you're there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they were saying last night these guys, there's like a 100% conviction rate once you're indicted in China, and they've already been indicted. So basically, they're convicted already.
Oh, they're lucky they're basketball players. They'd be in a work camp right now if they weren't already.
Well, no question. But they're saying they could normally, they'd get like 1 to 2 years. I don't think they will. But it was so stupid. I mean, what are you thinking when you're at that level to do something like that? I kind of hope they do get a year or two. But, you know, of course that won't happen. And maybe Ball's father will go over there and they'll arrest him too.
They're under house arrest right now in a hotel. But, yeah, the thing is, like, you know, you kind of stick out. I mean, you're a bunch of 6'9" dudes, man.
That's the other thing. You're like, in China. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, first off, you're black and you're tall.
I was just going to say, like, that's the exact.
Let me just come out and say what everyone's thinking. You're black and you're tall.
Right.
You kind of stick out in China as it is. Right? I mean, everyone's five feet. Like, so you're 7-foot dudes walking around a store just, you know what I mean? Just helping himself. And the thing is, people thought that at first it was a pair of sunglasses. It was like, all right, it's stupid. They grabbed a pair of sunglasses each from the Louis Vuitton store. Now the truth comes out, Steve. They went to three different stores in the mall. They stole from three different stores.
Right.
Like, that's not, I made a mistake. That's, no, I went
planned. That's not a spur of the moment. That's premeditated would be the legal term, right?
You know what it is, though? UCLA and China, Steve, the reason they're there, they have big connection. The guy, you know, Alibaba is the biggest, makes Amazon seem like a Fisher toy company.
Right.
Like, Alibaba is the biggest online company in the freaking world. I think they did like $8 billion business in one day the other day. So anyways, he's a UCLA guy. And,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of UCLA doctors, China, they come from China and stuff. There's a lot at play here, politics. Even Trump got involved yesterday. Word of no lie, Trump actually brought it up to them. Hey, you know, can you give us the kids back? The thing is, in China, their legal system, they're lucky they're in a hotel right now and they're not in jail, all right? And China's going to let them go, but they're not letting them go overnight. You know, they might be there for a little while.
They're making them sweat. They're making a point.
Yeah, exactly. They should. I'm with you, Steve. I would have made him stay in jail. But anyways.
Well, it's just so these guys are like already high level athletes, maybe NBA potential. It's like, what are you thinking? It just shows how dumb and spoiled. Really shows how spoiled and ignorant these guys are.
Well, it shows the enablement though of the college scene that they don't get kicked off the team.
They think they're above the law. They think they're above the law.
Shouldn't
exactly.
You get kicked off the team for that? You take the kids on a trip and they steal, you're kicked off the team. It's pretty simple.
I'll tell you right now, if you're the 12th player on that team, you're not there anymore.
No, I know. But if you're a Ball brother, I guess it's all right. That's the thing. You enable them. You get what you deserve. I lost a lot of respect for Steve Alford. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Steve.
Sounds good. Bye.
All right. Paul Povey joins us next. Paul doesn't need to steal glasses. He can afford them.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I swear to God, man, why does the beeping stop during the commercial breaks and start, like, when I come back? Good thing I'm sitting in this comfortable DX Racer chair. It's a great chair. It's a great chair. All right. Head over to dailyroto.com. Enter code FNTSY. Get 10% off your DFS kit for expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com. And it's not too late in the season to do it because it'll help you for DFS. And where, you know, playoffs are around the corner right now. All right, let's bring in Paul Bovey. I want to talk some NBA basketball. His New York Knicks taking on the Cavs. Fun video we saw. I wish we could have played it here. So Cavaliers taking a subway. I saw them at Penn Station. The Cavs were walking around Penn Station this morning after the shoot around. But let's talk Monday Night Football first. Paul Bovey's had a great year so far this year. One of the few. Paul, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Well, Gabe, I feel like I got beat up, and I have to go to school the next day and have everybody make fun of me because I lost the fight. And the fight was TCU against Oklahoma. Because as you know, I backed TCU. I was wrong. I want to get that out of the way. It was expensive. I came back on Sunday, but still, it was painful, Gabe.
You know what? I remember you made the pick, but we weren't. So much has happened since then. So much happened since Saturday. But I know you've had a great year. But yeah, that's the thing. And you do take that personal, don't you? And we all deal with it in different ways. I don't mind. I get it often online. You know, I'll go 5-0. People don't say anything. You know, I get Monday Night Football wrong. Boom. You know, Twitter starts to light up. I don't get criticized too much, but I hate the guys after. Oh, you bet on those guys? How could you bet on them? How did you not know? It's like, shut the hell up from your mom's basement, kid. What do you know? What's the biggest bet you ever made? $20? You know, shut up. You know, people tell you, you should have done this. You should have did that. I want to punch those people.
Well, Gabe, I wish it was just a matter of fielding some criticism. It was expensive. I do kill what I eat and vice versa.
Yeah.
But we're back here, Gabe.
It's like the super contest. The super contest eats me alive, Paul. I could win money, and if I had a bad day in a contest, like, it eats me alive. Like, I'm not as obsessed with it this year. Maybe that's why I'm not doing as good. But it's really frustrating. Just like this stupid alarm is very frustrating. All right. I apologize, Paul. There's a fire alarm drill here. So Dolphins and Panthers. We've only got about 5 minutes, unfortunately, already here. Dolphins and Panthers. What's your take on this one tonight?
Gabe, Carolina is not a good offense. And for them to be laying 8.5 points here, the total makes a lot of sense at 38. Cam Newton, 48 out of 62 for 671, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick against New England and Detroit. The other 5 games, I think it's 130 for 220, 5.9 yards per completion, 4 touchdowns, 10 picks. This offense has stalled against the likes of 7 teams outside of New England and Detroit, averaging under 300 yards. They don't move the ball. And against Detroit, I might add, Kelvin Benjamin had over 100 yards. He is gone. The loss of Greg Olsen hurt them immensely. Now, the Miami Dolphins have given up 95 points their last 3 games, but it was on under 1,000 yards. Joe Flacco only passed for 101 in that 40-0 debacle. So it hasn't been that they've given ground in terms of yardage. It's just been a series of circumstances that has gone against them. And in their first 5 games, they only allowed an average of 17 points. This is a very respectable defense in Miami going against a very subpar offense in the Carolina Panthers.
I like where you're going with this. As you mentioned, Carolina's averaging 18.7 points per game, giving up 17.7. They have a winning margin of 1. And now you're asking them to lay 8.5. What I find interesting about this, 3rd consecutive primetime game for the Dolphins, the Thursday nighter against the Ravens, the Sunday nighter against the Raiders, and they're 0-2 straight up, 1-1 against the spread. They backdoored that game against the Raiders. So 3rd consecutive primetime game. What I find interesting about this is Adam Gase has lost 2 games in a row 3 times before. So this is the 4th time that he's lost 2 games in a row before. Never lost 3 games in a row. So that's one thing. Gase has never lost 3 games in a row. He's always found a way to stop the bleeding. I don't know if they can win this game outright, but I think it's going to be, it's not going to be one for NFL film classics, that's for sure. But I think we got a close game.
Gabe, I totally agree with you. This number is completely out of whack with an offense that just doesn't score points. Cam Newton's had 4 games where he has not reached 200 yards in passing and 2 games where he barely eclipsed it. Not a good situation to be laying points with the Carolina Panthers. Take Miami all day long.
Cavaliers and Knicks tonight. This is interesting as well. The Cavaliers have yet to win back-to-back games yet this year, Paul. Yet to win 2 consecutive games of alternated wins and losses over the last 5 right now. What do you make of this one? They'd be in line for a loss if you're going over the last 5 games with the Cavs. I find the Cavs, though, generally get up for these sort of, you know, bigger games. And normally a Knicks game isn't a bigger game, but it's Monday night, it's MSG, and the Knicks don't suck suddenly.
the Cavs will get up for this game. And the Cavs, I want to point out, and I went under their win total this year, the only team I went under. They are everything that's wrong with NBA basketball right now. 113.5 points given up on defense, last in the conference. No one wants to see the Cleveland Cavaliers come out and play half a game, because I can go down to Venice Beach and watch guys run back and forth and make baskets all day long.
You're hating this, eh, Stuff, Paul? Every total tonight, you know, it's all 220, 222. No one, these kids don't play defense anymore.
Everything that's wrong with the NBA, and unfortunately, I don't want to sound like the guy coming out from under the rock, but I really appreciated the NBA back in the 80s and 90s when guys would get up in your face. But I do think the Cavs will get up for this game. Look, they were embarrassed by my Knicks just recently in Cleveland. LeBron has made some disparaging comments about the Knicks draft pick, first-round draft pick, Frank Nicolina, as well as Phil Jackson. And I think that's going to show up here. I don't know whether it translates into a win for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Knicks are going to fight hard, but I think the Cavs are going to put out an all-out effort here. And I would lean to probably the under, because they will play some defense.
Yeah, I think they're going to win like 110, 100 or something like that. All right, we're getting the break cue, but I got all these notes. So just quickly, I'm going to rattle through off. 76ers and Clippers this evening. Clippers in a free fall, have lost five in a row. No Gallinari, no Beverly means they're in a lot of trouble, I think. Yeah. Sixers getting plus two tonight, Paul, yes or no?
Gabe, the Clippers have collapsed. They've allowed 91 points a game in their first four, and the last seven, average of 113. No Beverly really hurts them. I can't play the game.
Paul, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, Gabe.
Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com. He's been lighting it up all year. Rich Cerminello joins me next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, this show is just flown by. Let's get right down to business. Cut the small talk. Let's bring in Rich Cerminello. Amanda and I join alongside Joe Lisi every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. They're on from 9 till noon. I join them at 10:39 and 11:39. Our picks have been rock solid. Unfortunately, though, every Saturday I kill the college board during the day, and I always lose the Saturday night primetime TV games, and it's driving me crazy. Rich, always a pleasure, my man. And if you remember, I loved Auburn last week, but I also went...
Oh, I got to tell you, you were spot on, my friend. I couldn't have been more sure about Georgia, but I've got to tell you, after watching Auburn and then watching the Alabama-Mississippi State and seeing how vulnerable the Tide looks, Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl is going to be something special, because I think these Tigers could beat the Tide.
Yeah, they both have setups this week, right? I don't even know who they're playing. What, Lamont and Kennesaw States in the world or whatever it is?
I think Bama plays Mercer.
Oh, Mercer, that's it. So, yeah, they get these little setups. You might as well just have a bye week, Rich. Sure, right? At this point.
Yeah, you know, it's an odd time of year. I don't mind it in week one. Week one, it's kind of like a de facto exhibition game. That's fine. But now that we're in the groove of the season, I can't stand those games.
Yeah, it's strange. But for the record, the preliminary line, Alabama minus three on the road, which goes to show how much respect the oddsmakers are suddenly giving Auburn right now.
Well, and that attrition, Alabama, which always has great depth, they're getting whacked on defense. They're really getting light on linebackers, and they could have lost that game against Mississippi State. Auburn is a very good football team right now.
Dan Mullen's a great coach. Obviously, you know, he could leave anytime he wants, but with that being stated, he gave that game away, Rich.
Yeah.
He gave the game away. You know, your kids, you got to put your, you know, the kids can make plays. You've got to drive them home. You're the captain. It's like a ship. You've got to get this into the port here. And when there's 5.5 minutes left and you're on the Alabama 42-yard line, 43-yard line.
Can't be cautious.
Yeah, you already have two losses. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing?
You have to, against Alabama, it would be like playing for overtime against Alabama.
Exactly.
You're not going to win that football game. You have to go for the jugular when you have a chance, because how many times in a lifetime are you going to beat a Nick Saban team?
Yeah, how many times you're right? You're going to say, you know what, we're tied, and you got the ball on Bama's 43-yard line on 4th-and-3. What are you going to do? In the summertime, you're going to say, I'm going to go for it. And in a moment, he gave it to him. And then Bama just ate the clock. Saban was clapping after. You could tell, oh, wow, we just dodged a bullet here. And then I don't know what the hell he was doing, blitzing late in the game at that point in time. But anyway,
Jalen Hurts, I got to tell you, the kid is a winner. You give that kid an opportunity late in the game, the numbers are never going to be there. He's not going to be a Heisman quarterback, but this kid knows how to win championships. I was very impressed with him down the stretch, threw a bullet on that game winner. That kid is clutch. You want to win championships, you need someone like Jalen Hurts in the huddle.
You know what? I questioned whether you could win a championship with Malik Rozier as your quarterback, and nothing against him. But,
not
against him, but just, you know, is it too much too soon? This Miami team, I don't know. They're going to get humbled. And I find a little bit of a twist of irony here that I haven't heard anybody bring up. On a day that Kirby Smart gets his ass handed to him, later in the night, Coach Rick wins a huge game to remain undefeated.
I tell you, how impressive was I?
That was the most impressive team of the weekend, the Miami Hurricanes and what they did.
Miami, and I'll say the two big winners, Gabe, this weekend, week 11, was Miami, but also Oklahoma. Now, I still hate the defense in Norman, but Baker Mayfield is starting to look like he could be on a Cam Newton-type run, a Marcus Mariota-type run. Nobody wants to face that Oklahoma offense. That team looks unstoppable right now.
All right, unfortunately, we got 90 seconds already. Wisconsin, I mean, at what point do we respect Wisconsin? I think Wisconsin, listen, they're getting Michigan this week, so we'll see if this plays itself out. But I'm going to ask you right now, what do you think the four will be? And do you think what it will be is what it should be, right? Because what it will be and what we think could be two different things. We only have a minute here, but are we looking at Alabama, Miami 2, and then Miami 2, and then after that, Clemson, Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma might move up to number 2, to be honest with you. I think the country looks at the resume of Oklahoma. Ohio State got the big win over Michigan State. Oklahoma handed Ohio State their head. Now they have their win over another top 10 team against TCU last weekend. Another easy victory. I think Oklahoma might be number 2 tonight, and quite frankly, I think they deserve to be there. One thing real quickly is I like the way this is playing out, Gabe. No longer are we talking about two teams from one conference. We're no longer talking about Notre Dame. ACC champ, Big Ten champ, Big 12 champ, SEC champ. Those are your four playoff bids this season.
Yeah, you're right. And the Pac-12 has played themselves out of the conversation. Unfortunately, we got to get out of here. We can check out Rich every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Thanks, Rich.
Look forward to seeing you, Gabe.
Like the Chiefs jersey. He's wearing, you know. It's tough, though. We never see the bottom. Rocking the Chiefs. House of Pain. All right, we'll be back with our plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 20...
All right, it's time for our plays of the day, and I think I better say a prayer here. Oh, Santa Maria. Miami Dolphins. I don't speak Latin. Miami Dolphins. I'm saying a prayer because I'm taking the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins. Give me this game to go over the number. Give me the Dolphins on a 7-point teaser. Let's get stupid tonight. You know what? I love this prop. Over 4.5 sacks. Carolina second in the league in sacks. Cutler likes to get sacked. Let's go over 4.5. Long field goal, long. Over 45.5. NBA basketball. I think the Cavaliers show up tonight against the Knicks and win by 7 to 10 points. We'll lay the 5, 5.5. Phoenix Suns, revenge spot against the Lakers. We'll lay the 1 in this spot. Philadelphia 76ers, man. Ben Simmons is a stud. Clippers are in a free fall right now. Gallinari and Beverly banged up. Let's take the 76ers college basketball. Give me Pitt to beat Montana minus the 3. Give me College of Charleston plus 16.5. Let's go over to 136 in the bonus pick. Give me Hawaii in the over tonight. May the winners be yours.